And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Friends, this is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we're going to be examining today our president. Well, soon to be Barack Hussein Obama. And we're going to be looking at a man who, let's just be honest and upfront about it, is a Marxist-Leninist communist. He is. He's a Marxist-Leninist communist. And, of course, I wouldn't say those things unless they were true. And on this program, we will prove that what we have today is the red star being raised, being hoisted over America. The red star of communism. And for now, in these precious few months, before Rahm the Cruel, Emmanuel, as the White House Chief of Staff, before he and the band or gang of communist Marxist and neo-fascist that Barack Obama is putting into office with him in the various positions, Attorney General, Homeland Security Director, and so forth, before they have been able to entrench themselves and thus begin filling up people by shipping them, arresting them, incarcerating people like Tex Mars in their gulag concentration camps, I have the freedom to talk to you today from the heart, to tell you the truth about Barack Obama. What I'm going to say may sound absolutely preposterous. After all, could it be that Americans are so stupid, gullible, and deceived that they would elect a Marxist-Leninist communist to the highest office in this nation? Is that possible? Well, of course, we elected William Jefferson Clinton, and he was certainly a Marxist, but now we've gone one step further. Here is a man who, from the time he was born, was chosen to be a communist. Chosen! An amazing thing, isn't it? Chosen by communist agents to be a cog in their revolutionary will. And now he is able to grab hold of the highest office in the land, and with the assistance of the Chicago Jewish Mafia and his number two, really number one man, Rahm the Cruel Emmanuel, thus will begin the Hegelian dialectic process of destroying America and establishing Tikkun Olam, that is the Jewish Zionist communist utopia for America and the world, in earnest. Now, it does not surprise me to go back and to study just a little bit, and you can find much of these things, many of them, on the internet. So you don't have to rely on Tex Mars, but I'm going to give you some documentation today. For example, I've been able to discover that during the election, Mr. Obama received the endorsement of a number of interesting groups. For example, the Democratic Socialist of America organization, the Marxist-Leninist Party, who worked hard for Obama's election, and right from Chicago, by the way. The Marxist Party of Chicago worked extremely diligently for Mr. Obama, and the Communist Party USA endorsed the Kenyan citizen to the presidency. Notice I didn't say American citizen Obama, because he's actually a citizen of Kenya. From what I've been able to determine, He is not a citizen of the United States, does not meet the constitutional requirement, but neither the Supreme Court of the United States nor the Jewish-controlled media give one fig for obeying the Constitution of the United States. One top United States communist leader implored his readers, elect Obama and change the world. You know, there were a few people who realized this. One of them, a commentator for CNN, Mr. Glenn Beck, who I'm not too enamored with, because the man, seemed to be in love with George W. Bush and John McCain most of the time. But he said of Obama something very true. He said, this guy really is a Marxist. Now, you didn't get that much on the media, certainly on cable news network CNN. And it's interesting that Glenn Beck is no longer on CNN within a month or two of saying that. But I understand he's being picked up by Fox Network. Glenn Beck on CNN headline news program said this. He said, the thing that I find about Barack Obama is that, and I think America is starting to catch on to this, this guy really is a Marxist. He also said of the agenda of Obama and his camp, he said, there is a socialist agenda there for America. Well, of course, Mr. Beck, there is. But then George W. Bush was doing his best to promote the same Marxist agenda. It's just that we're going to get it in spades now. But, you know, there is something different, though, about Barack Obama and George W. Bush. Because most people admitted, any thinking person did, that George W. Bush was basically, well, a moron, an idiot. Useful idiot to the thugs that ran Wall Street and to the Jewish crumbs that were pushing for America to enter wars and continue in death marches in Iraq and Iran and so forth. They loved George W. Bush, but they never called him the Messiah. But many people really believe this man, Barack Obama, is going to be a savior for the whole world, a Messiah. And he's even more popular overseas than he is in the United States of America. Now, the man's Senate record and voting record back when he was in the Illinois legislature is not a hidden tabula rasa. It's not something you can't find out about. In fact, almost any rating organization would tell you that Barack Obama voted liberal, extreme liberal, almost 100% of the time. And in fact, was the most extreme left-wing liberal senator in the whole United States Senate of all 100, even more than Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's a fact, and you can check this out on the internet. We mainly have two political parties. They claim to be, but they basically run under the same platform and program, the Democrats and the Republicans. But there is one guy that stands out from New England. His name is Bernie Sanders, a legislator. Bernie Sanders. He said, I'm not Republican or Democrat. I'm a socialist. He ran as a socialist and won high office. Turns out that Barack Obama even endorsed Bernie Sanders' candidacy, the socialist. And rightly he should, because the Communist Party USA has endorsed Barack Obama. And of course, Barack Obama received the endorsement of many others. And you may say, well, Tex, you can't fault him for other people endorsing him. Really? Well, I don't think the Nazi Party endorsed him. I don't think any extreme right-wing groups endorsed him. So I think that when a group endorses you, friends, it's not fun and games. They endorse you because they believe you are most compatible with their platform, with what they're all about. I mean, I don't have any Communist Party USA beating down my doors endorsing my radio program. We wouldn't fault you if you did. Don't worry about faulting Tex Mars. You're not going to see it. I got a email from somebody. I think he must be talking to the wrong man. He said, Tex Mars, I believe you're nothing but a shill for the Vatican. Well, if I'm a shill for the Vatican, they're not paying me very well. In fact, they haven't given me one red cent. Where's my money? And then another guy wrote me just today, in fact, and said that I'm a stooge for the Jews. I don't know where he gets that, because I probably exposed the Zionists in Israel more than any commentator in America and been pretty well punished and battered for it. But if I am a stooge for the Jews, this man went on to say, and you must be getting rich from it. Well, I'm wondering why the ministry took in less money than it spent last year. If we get money from all these sources, and of course all that's just silly rubbish. The fact is, Tex Mars is the man you're listening to right now. You can listen to me every week. I don't hide what I believe in. In fact, you know, my best friends, they always laugh. They say, Tex, you know, you sure like to mince words, don't you? And they, you know, they joke about it and laugh because they know I don't mince words. And I'm telling you the truth about Barack Obama. Some people have said to me, but Tex, if you expose Barack Obama as a Marxist-Leninist and show that he has a program for the Sovietization of America, don't you know that Rahm the Cruel Emanuel is going to paint you as an enemy of the state, as Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin used to say, an enemy of the people? Yeah, Tex Mars is an enemy of the people because I exposed the Judaic communism of Rahm the Cruel Emanuel and Barack Obama. And they say that Rahm the Cruel is probably going to come after me. Well, he probably will. But of course, I have a big bodyguard. Jerry sitting over here at the at the soundboard. Jerry Barrett. He takes care of this radio program and our websites too. Jerry's a pretty big guy. Listen, he's a football referee. Part-time, you know, he referees high school games of the top schools around here, and he's helped out at the University of Texas and so forth. You know, being one of these football guys, I wouldn't want to reckon with Jerry Barrett. Come on down to the ministry here and try to make trouble for us. Old Jerry might take you on. But, you know, Jerry's a nice guy. He probably wouldn't. He smiles a lot. His wife is a sweetheart, too. So he probably, you know, he's not that kind of a guy. I really wasn't talking about Jerry Barrett being my bodyguard anyway. I have a bigger one than him. His name is Jesus. Nobody wants to mess with that guy. I mean, he's more than a guy, let me tell you. He is Lord and Savior, and you don't want to mess with him. There used to be a slogan here in Texas. I think it still exists. I still see bumper stickers that says, "Don't mess with Texas." They mean, you know, don't litter and so forth. Don't throw trash from your car. Somebody cut off the AS and gave me the bumper sticker for my car and said, "Don't mess with Tex." Well, I'm a pretty nice guy myself, but I mean it when I say that God is my protector. And I'm not worried about what men can do. So, Rahm the Cruel, do your worst. You know, but it might backfire on you. It might backfire because the book of Revelation says that the men and women who belong to Jesus are the overcomers. Now, if that wasn't true, then I'd be worried. But we are the overcomers. And the beast and his people may make war on us. They will. Revelation 13 says so. They may overcome us for a time. But, you know, I'm a big believer in come from behind victories. I like those fourth quarter finishes. I liked even the overtimes. Maybe that's what the book of Revelation is all about, overtime. Oh, I tell you, I like that. The Lord Jesus has some real surprises in store for the enemies. Talk about enemy of the people. That's not a problem. You better not be an enemy of Jesus Christ. And I want him to be my friend, and he is. He'll be your friend too. Couldn't have a better friend. But look at some of Obama's friends. Sandinista leader Daniel Ortega, the communist from down in Nicaragua, endorsed Obama. He said that Obama's election means that a revolution could possibly break out of the United States. A revolution, a communist revolution. He says, yes, Obama and his friends are laying the foundations for a revolutionary change. Well, no wonder Obama, the Messiah, talks about change. Daniel Ortega, the Sandinista, says, that's right, they're laying the foundation for a revolutionary change. Then there's Obama's Chicago friend, the ex-weather underground terrorist Bill Ayers, a bomber. Saw him on TV just a few weeks ago, and they were showing him coming out of his house. Had a t-shirt on. I looked very carefully. Yep, had the big old red star. The red star on a black background t-shirt. The guy's still a communist radical. Bomber. Killer. Has no regrets. Told the New York Times we didn't do enough. Did you know that Obama did indeed, you might say, kicked off his candidacy in the home of Bill Ayers? But he says, well, that was long ago. That was back in the 70s or something when Bill Ayers was a terrorist. He's reformed now. That's what Obama said. But wait. In Chicago Magazine in 2001, just 7 years ago, while Obama was in the Illinois legislature, was a photo that he posed for in a Chicago Magazine. Bill Ayers, the good friend, the pal. They're on several boards together and so forth. And again, he's been in Bill Ayers' house. Picture of him there in the Chicago Magazine, 2001, stomping on a U.S. flag. Wow. By the way, Ayers made a $200 donation. Not very much, but showed his sympathy to Obama's state Senate campaign. Then we get to Che. I pronounce it K, but it's C-H-E, Guevara. Che Guevara. He was the second man under Fidel Castro during the Cuban Revolution, and then he went to Central and South America to try to foment revolutions in those countries, and he got himself killed. Now he's a hero. And in many Marxist-Leninist residences, people who are Marxist-Leninist, they'll have a big picture, a big photo of Che Guevara. In the background, a flag with a red star, the red star of communism. Did you know that Obama's own website had at least 15 favorable mentions of Che Guevara? Well, I have two pictures right here in front of me. Two pictures of Obama for President campaign offices. One of them was the largest Obama campaign office in Houston, Texas. In fact, I published it on my website, powerofprophecy.com at the time. They had a flag as big as a football field practically on a wall, had a warehouse that they were using for their political campaign. Picture, a big poster really, of Che Guevara, the communist revolutionary militant leader, and that red star of communism. Wow. But there was also another campaign office of Obama. And when it was brought to his attention, Obama said, well, I'm disappointed. But he didn't order it taken down. Wow. We find out from a book entitled The Secret World of American Communism that as state senator, Obama once shared an office voluntarily. Now, they chose to roomie together, you might say, in offices, have offices together, with a Communist Party leader named Mike Krunsky. Now, friends, visit my offices here in Austin, Texas, And you know, I just don't have office space here that I'm sharing with the leader of the U.S. Communist Party. Mr. Klonsky is not your run-of-the-mill communist leader either. He founded a group called the New Communist, which advocates the revolutionary overthrow of the government. I understand his wife, Susan, is a friend of Michelle Obama's. It goes on and on and on. These Marxist, Leninist connections. Let's look a little bit into these things. First of all, Obama's biological father once wrote a paper called Problems with Our Socialism, advocated the government ownership of all land and the confiscation of all privately owned property. That was his father. Well, he abandoned his mother, so-called, and you know, let's not talk too much about him. And after all, it's not Obama's fault anyway. But Obama, in his own book, his own autobiography, says that the person who molded his views the very most was his mother. His mother. Now, her name, strangely, was Stanley, a male name. Stanley Ann Dunham. You see, Stanley, his mother, was reputed to be, well, maybe I won't get into that, but in any case, her father wanted a son and raised her as a boy. Oh, she had short hair and all the, you know, you can imagine. Yeah, her parents wanted a boy, and they named her Stanley. She started off strange. They went off to Hawaii to live for a while, and she went to a Hawaii high school that was later discovered to be a font of communist Marxist training for youth. And her parents, that's Barack Obama's grandparents, you know, his grandmother just died recently, that was the school they put her in. Actually, I said in Hawaii, let me clarify that. It was actually on Mercer Island in the state of Washington. There's more I'll tell you about in a moment about Hawaii. This was actually, I want to make sure my facts are straight, Mercer Island School, just in the coast there of Washington State. Now, about his mother, Obama said this. He said, the values she taught me continue to be my touchstone when it comes to how I go about the world of politics. By the way, this was quoted by reporter Tim Jones in the Chicago Tribune newspaper, his saying that about his mother. Let's look at his mother a little bit. Stanley. Stanley made it plain to all of her high school classmates that she was a very ardent atheist. She said she was willing to debate Christians anytime, anywhere. Did not believe in God. Her parents told her that Jesus Christ was not true, not real. And Stanley Ann Dunham, believed them. Of course, Karl Marx claimed to be an atheist, although he promoted Judaism. Vladimir Lenin and Trotsky, the two primary leaders of Soviet communism, claimed to be atheists, but it's just that they hated Christianity. They never were prejudiced at all against Judaism or Jews, and they both were Jews. Now, this Stanley Ann Dunham met her, first of all, she met her, the father, the biological father of Obama, at her university she went to. He was a black man from Kenya. She met him while she was studying in a class where they were teaching the Russian language because she so admired Soviet communist Russia. But I want to tell you a little bit more. His mother, as you know and I know, was a hippie, a drug abuser. And she sort of pawned off Barack Obama on her parents, his grandparents. And so Barack went to live there in Hawaii with his grandparents. Now, it just so happened that his grandparents had some very strange friends of their own. First of all, some of the friends they met at a Unitarian church. That's where they went to church. See, Obama claims he's a Christian, but he was raised as a Unitarian. Now, what is a Unitarian? It's a New Age occult church. It's a New Age occult church, Unitarianism. They believe that all gods are the same. Millions of gods and goddesses, they're all the same. Ultimately, they believe that man is a god. And that's what Marxism taught. So his grandparents trained him as a Unitarian, a New Age occultist. But more than that, they claimed they could blend in their atheism with this Unitarianism. And basically, that goes right alongside the communist philosophies as well. Now, it just so happened that there was a man in Waikiki, Hawaii at the time, living in the same area as Obama's grandparents. Remember now, Obama was living with them in their apartment in Hawaii from 1971 to 1979. And his grandfather, Obama's grandfather, introduced him to a friend of his, a black man. You see, they were very much into the black community. It wasn't just that his mother, Stanley Ann Dunham, you know, had sex with black men, and then later with Indonesians and so forth. Obama's grandparents were pretty deep into the black community. Now, this wouldn't have been so bad. I don't mind a person. You can associate with anybody. You can have friends that are Chinese, Mexicans, Native American Indians, black. I don't care. It's just that the people that they chose to be friends with were all a bunch of communist socialist black people. Well, now, that might make a difference. One of them was a man named Frank Marshall Davis, a known member of the Communist Party USA. He became a very fast friend of Obama's grandparents. Now, how did he meet them? Well, you decide exactly, but let me just put it this way. It seems that this guy, Frank Marshall Davis, a Communist Party member, who, by the way, was hauled before the Un-American Activities Committee of Congress at one point and chose to plead the Fifth Amendment when they asked him if he was a communist. But this black man, Frank Marshall Davis, this communist, had a special relationship with Obama's parents. Now, it might have something to do with a book that Frank Marshall Davis wrote. And by the way, Obama, in his own autobiography, says that Frank Marshall Davis, whom he just called Frank, Uncle Frank, was so close to him as a youngster that he became his mentor and taught him many things, and other than his mother, probably was the one who most molded his political views. This communist black man, Frank Marshall Davis, or Uncle Frank, to Barack. Now, this is Barack Obama's own book, he says this. But wait, Mr. Davis, during that same time, wrote a book of his own. A book called Sex Rebel. Turns out he's a homosexual pedophile. And he was running around with a little boy named Barack, with the approval of Barack's grandfather in Waikiki, Hawaii. And there's more when we return right here on Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. You're listening to Tex Mars, and this is Power of Prophecy, beaming to you around the world from Austin, Texas. There are no communists today. Why, the Soviet Union fell back in the 80s. Remember Mikhail Gorbachev and his rapprochement the bridges of peace that he made with Ronald Reagan and with the senior Bush? Oh, of course, there's no communism in the Soviet Union today. But you know, there might just be a lot of communism right here in the United States of America. And we might have elected a Marxist communist to the highest office. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said something very interesting in one of his last speeches. Here is the greatest historian of the 20th century, a lion among men, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Here's what he said. He said, for us in Russia, communism is a dead dog. For many people in the West, he added, it is still a living lion. Yeah, in Russia, communism is a dead dog because they suffered under it from 1917 to at least 1987. 70 brutal, terrible years of horror. It's a dead dog, though, now. The people know what it was all about. They know that it was Judaic. They know that a Jew named Vladimir Lenin and a Jew named Leon Trotsky, whose real name was Leon Bronstein, from the Bronx, New York, by the way, they know that the Jews brought communism and that at least 25 million Russians paid the ultimate price of death, and especially the great majority of Bible-believing Christians were tortured, murdered, purged by the Jewish communist. But to America cannot believe this because our historians have not told you the truth about Soviet communism and who was behind it, the Jews. They've never told you these things. Now, friends, I have a degree, a college degree in political science. And I took several courses on Soviet communism to study it and discover the truth about it. And they never told me. I had to go out on my own to discover the truth. To, you might say, get a PhD in the secret history of communism. That's what I've got. A PhD in the secret history. And I want to reveal it to you. And you know what? There's a little book. It's a small book. And we offer it for just $10. Please add $4 just for shipping and handling. A total of $14, and ask for the book, Behind Communism. Photographs. Documentation. You'll find the truth about Vladimir Lenin. You'll find the truth about the Gulag concentration camps. You'll be horrified when you know who and what is behind communism. And remember Solzhenitsyn's words. In the West, in the United States, it's not dead, it's a living lion. And isn't it true that the Bible says that Satan, that old devil, is like a lion, prowling about, seeking whom he may devour? A lion! He lives, Satan, in the form of global communism. And now, just as it grabbed hold of the hair and yanked up the head and sliced open the jugular vein and neck of the entire 200 plus million empire of the Soviet Union and Russia, today 300 million population America is at the mercy of the servants of Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin, and their master, Satan, their communist. And Barack Obama and Rahm the Cruel Emanuel have been chosen by this communist cabal, this hidden cabal of communist Jews in America and Israel to set up a communist fiefdom right in our midst. And they're doing it. You've got to get this book, Behind Communism. Someday, unfortunately, someone will write a book entitled Behind Communism in America. Know the Truth, from Karl Marx, a Freemason and a monstrous sexual pervert, to Vladimir Lenin, a bisexual homosexual and a Freemason and a member of the Jewish B'nai B'rith, and Leon Trotsky, also a Freemason and a member of the Jewish Masonic Secret Society, the B'nai B'rith. You get the connection? Of course you do. And if you don't, you will, because there's going to be a lot of heat coming our way, friends. If you're an overcomer, they're going to come after you. If you know Jesus Christ, if you know the truth, if you're a patriotic American, if you're a nationalist, if you love the Constitution of the United States, if you love freedom and liberty, they're going to come after you. You're the enemy of the state, the one they like to call the enemy of the people. But you're not the enemy of the people. You're the enemy of Satan, and they know it. Just $14 postpaid. Ask for Behind Communism. By the way, the author is a man named Frank Britton. Frank Britton. Behind Communism. Just $10, $4 shipping and handling, $14. Use your charge card. Call up toll free during the work week, Monday through Friday. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. powerofprophecy.com, and order the book. You can send us a check or a money order, or cash, $14. Say, text, send me Behind Communism. We'll get it right in the mail to you. We got plenty of copies. My good friend, Larry Patterson, publisher of Criminal Politics Magazine, publishes this book. And we have plenty of copies. If we don't, I know Larry will print some more for us. He's been selling this book a long time, getting out the word. Don't you know he's hated? Woo! By the communists. Now, our address here is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to our regular program. I'm exposing the fact that there is a red star in the sky over America, the Rothschild, Judaic communist red star of the Zionist leader and stooge, Rom the Cruel, Emmanuel, and his second in command, Barack Obama. Of course, officially, Rom the Cruel is White House Chief of Staff. He went over and served in the Israeli military. He's an Israeli dual citizen. From what I understand, the FBI has a file on Rom the Cruel Emmanuel in which they have evidence that he is a secret agent of the Israeli Mossad. He really is not even able to get a high-level security clearance. But when the President of the United States is a communist agent, and also a secret agent of Mossad, what can you do? You know, after about 2 or 3 years in the presidency of Bill Clinton, it was discovered that more than half of the people who were doing all the work in the Clinton White House and had access to top secret information didn't even have a clearance. Didn't even have a secret clearance approval, let alone top secret, but they were handling all this material. Friends, back when I was in the U.S. Air Force as an officer, if somebody gave me access to classified material and I wasn't cleared to see that material, that put him and me both in the pokey for a long stretch. Well, we were talking before the break about the Marxist mentor who trained Obama from the time he was a little boy all the way up till he was through high school. His name, Frank Marshall Davis. Now, in his own book, Dreams from My Father, Obama refers to him repeatedly as Frank. Frank taught me this. Frank told me this. his communist mentor. Now, when Obama went to the elitist Punahou prep school in Hawaii from 1975 to 1979, Frank Davis would meet with him privately. Imagine if you're the grandparents and the custodians, because his mother went off to some other land to, you know, do, well, you know, ABC, what? I'm not going to talk about that. His mother, Stanley, the communist trollop who taught him so much of his politics, just sort of abandoned him and gave him to his grandparents. Makes you feel sorry for little Obama. But the worst of it is they had a friend named Frank, a black man. They ran around with the black people, the black Marxists, it seems. But it was more than that. This old Frank guy that took Obama places and took him under his confidence and taught him so much that he's mentioned repeatedly in Obama's own book, Dreams of My Father. This man, Frank Marshall Davis's full name, it just so happens that he was a sexual deviant, homosexual, pedophile. In his own book, and by the way, you can read about this on WorldNet Daily in an article by Jerome Corsi, C-O-R-S-I, dated October 30th, 2008. It seems that this Marxist communist agent, Davis, trained Barack Obama in some things that weren't so savory. At least judging by Frank Marshall Davis's own book. Yes, that's right. He wrote a book entitled, I want to make sure we get this straight. You always have to when you're making accusations that are truthful. Sex Rebel. That's right. He wrote a book named Sex Rebel. Now, Davis says that he was stalking a public park in Waikiki, Hawaii, looking for fresh meat. I think you know what that means, folks. He was stalking a public park, Kapiolani Park in Waikiki, when he came upon two tourists, a Seattle couple. Now, I want to mention to you, if you'll remember, that Obama's grandparents came from Washington State, from Seattle. They lived on a little island out of Seattle on the coast there called Mercer Island. And that's where they sent their daughter, Stanley, to school to learn to be a communist. And she became Obama's mother, of course, out of wedlock to some dude from, Kenya or whatever. At least that's what it's claimed. Although some claim that Frank Marshall Davis is the father of Barack Obama. But that's an allegation that I'm not sure of, but that's the claim. In any case, in Davis's book, Sex Rebel, Black, Mr. Davis said he was walking in this park, stalking, looking for some sex partners, when he came upon a couple of tourists that had just come from Washington State. A couple that he calls, quote, Dot and Lloyd. Well, after a few minutes of small talk to establish their mutual interest in swinging, you know what that means. Davis then devotes almost all of chapter 27 of his book, Sex Rebel Black, to a very graphic and detailed description of their three-way sexual encounters for days on end. This couple from Seattle, whom he met, Frank Marshall Davis, had a threesome with. Now, it just so happens that Obama's parents came from Seattle. And they decided to move to Waikiki. Maybe they liked what they found. Now, according to Corsi and his research, Barack Obama's grandfather almost turned him over to Frank for training. In fact, let me read to you Corsi's own words. He says, "The late Marxist activist Frank Marshall Davis, frequently accompanied by young Barack Obama and his grandfather, Stanley," see, he named his daughter Stanley, which is his name, "Stanley Armour Dunham, sold marijuana and cocaine from a Chicago-style hot dog cart that Davis operated near his home on Cujillo Avenue in Waikiki in the early 1970s. Let's get the picture here. Frank Marshall Davis, a member of the Communist Party, says he was stalking, looking for sex partners, men or women, didn't matter to him, or little boys for that matter, when he came upon a couple from Seattle, and then they turned into swinger threesome. Now, whether that couple was Obama's grandparents, we don't know. You decide for yourself whether that's so. But according to WorldNetDaily.com, they've established that this same Davis sold marijuana and cocaine from his hot dog cart that he operated. And there helping him run the business was young Barack and his father, grandfather, Stanley Dunham. Oh, boy. Now, it says here that Obama, of course, in his own biography, admits to use of marijuana and cocaine. He admits it. To use of marijuana and cocaine. Of course, I'm sure he'd claim he's not using them today, but then that's what Bill Clinton claimed. We know that's not true. Who gave him this, the marijuana, the pot, and the cocaine? Well, very possibly it was this Frank Marshall Davis. Uncle Frank. Who said he had wild sex with a couple from Seattle that he met in a park in Waikiki. Was it Obama's grandparents? We don't know. By the way, Davis in his book, Sex Rebel Black, says that it's a novel, but it's autobiographical. True story of him. In the book, he boasts of swinging not only with men and women, but of having sex with minors. My. By the way, you say, I've never heard about Obama smoking pot and taking cocaine. Where'd you hear that, Tex Mars? Well, get his book, Dreams from My Father, in which he discloses that he used both marijuana and cocaine as a high school student living with his parents in Honolulu near the Waikiki Beach. Well, according to World Net Daily, one source says that he would buy what they call eight balls, consisting of approximately 3.6 grams of cocaine from Davis, from Frank Davis at that hot dog stand when Obama was present there. Did Obama know that Uncle Frank, the sex deviant and pedophile, was selling cocaine from the hot dog stand? We don't know. We know that he admits taking it. Well, boy. You know, friend, it just... By the way, he wrote another book, Davis did, Frank, Uncle Frank, Obama's mentor, pedophile, sex rebel, swinger, communist, called Living the Blues, in which he said he was pursued by the U.S. government that tried to get him. Didn't bother him, he says. He was able to evade their tenterhooks. You know, just like Obama's been able to evade the tenterhooks. Friends, what we have here is a communist with associations going way back, but also, well, pretty recent. For example, remember when Obama ran for the Illinois State Senate. In fact, according to WorldNet Daily, according to Cliff Kincaid and other writers, Obama's run for the Illinois State Senate was launched by a fundraiser organized at Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn's Chicago home. Who are Ayers and Dorn? They're former terrorists from the Weather Underground and from the Students for a Democratic Society, the SDS, again, communist group. One of their friends was a woman named Alice Palmer. And it seems that this Miss Palmer was a state senator in Illinois. And she stepped down and allowed Obama to succeed her. I wonder who told her to step down. Now, on this program recently, I exposed the fact that on Google.com, Google it up and you will see, there are many articles in newspapers such as the Chicago Tribune, such as the Jerusalem Post, in which high-level Jewish agents here in America, including an attorney, a very super-rich multimillionaire Jew named Abner Mikva, M-I-K-V-A, says that Obama is destined to become America's first Jewish president. But Obama's not Jewish in blood, is he? As far as I know, the Dunham name is not Jewish. But you see, just as Bill Clinton relished being called America's first black president, although, from everything we know, he wasn't black, Obama, the high-level Jews, and I believe particularly the Chicago Mafia Jews, are boasting and bragging that they have gotten one of their own that they have trained from the time he was a young boy in communism, because the Jews in America founded communism. And they brought many black people into it because the blacks were treated poorly. They were underprivileged. They did not have equal opportunity in America. And that's a shameful situation. But let me assure you that it was very unfortunate that some black people seeking a remedy for this unequal treatment decided to become members of the Communist Party USA that was founded by Jews. Just as the Communist Party of the Soviet Union was founded by Jews. Just as most communist parties around the world are founded by Jews. You've heard of Miss Rosie Parks. She's being celebrated around the world, especially in the United States, by black people and historians even today. For her role in the civil rights movement, they say there in the Deep South, she got on a bus and they told her, take a seat in the back because you're black, you can't sit in the front. She said no. She sat in the front and refused to move. They came and arrested her. Rosalie Parks. Now, I think it's a very courageous story. I sort of like a person. Can you imagine being told to ride in the back of the bus just because of the color of your skin? I don't really find that too delightful at all. I find it pretty pitiful. I like what Rosie Parks did. But what Americans don't know is she was a member of the Communist Party USA, and she did it as a stunt of the Communist Party. Well, it worked. And of course, according to the communists, the end always justifies the means. It's hard to quarrel with what Rosie Parks did. It's just that she was also a communist and did many, no doubt, unsavory things along with that good thing. Now, Obama evidently has been influenced by this Frank Marshall Davis, and maybe in more ways than one. There's a man named Sinclair in Chicago, a homosexual, who swears up and down that he and Obama have carried out a homosexual relationship for many years. There are people who have written to me and said, Tex, does Michelle Obama's what she wore on the day of the election? She came out to celebrate the victory of her husband being elected president of the United States, and she was wearing a strange-looking symbolic dress. It was red with black markings. Well, of course, red and black. There you have the good old five-pointed red star of communism flag. I don't know if Michelle Obama's dress had anything to do with the fact that she's a communist. I don't know that she is. But I do know that Rahm Emanuel, in my opinion, is a Jewish communist. I know that Abner Mikva, who was Bill Clinton's White House counsel who covered up for him during the impeachment proceedings, chose Obama from the time he got out of university and came to Chicago and became a community organizer. And by the way, that's another code name. A code name. Saul Alinsky wrote in his Rules for Radical. That was the title of his book. It was a book that was read by Hillary Rodham Clinton and used its principles, and a book that was read by Barack Hussein Obama and used its principles. Rules for Radicals. He said you got to hide behind code names. You got to be able to deceive people. You got to use Machiavellian tactics. I remember Sarah Palin. I got a little charge, a little fun out of her bragging that, you know, people ask her, was she qualified to become president of the United States? She said, well, I had real jobs like mayor of a town, Wasilla, and I'm governor of a state. And Obama, well, he was community organizer, whatever that means. I'll tell you what it means. Communist rabble rouser, according to Saul Alinsky. But it was Abner Mikva and his friends, these Jewish, I call them mafia, that's my opinion. Abner Mikva, who chose Obama. And then, of course, there was the Pritzker family, the Saltzmans, and other people. By the way, Obama lived in a Jewish neighborhood. Hadn't heard that one. Oh, you thought he lived in the ghetto area of Chicago? Are you kidding me? This was a white boy, not a black man. Did you notice I made the difference? Now, don't accuse me of being a racist for using the word boy. He was a white boy and a black man. And he's used by the communist Jews. They've made him their first Jewish president. Well, that's not really true because Roosevelt was a Jewish president and so was Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson was controlled by a Jew named Colonel E. Mandel House, and FDR was controlled by a Jew named, a Wall Street financier named Bernard Baruch. And now Barack Obama, the first Jewish president, and that's the name given him by Abner Mikva, the Chicago attorney, former White House counsel. Now he has a controller, a Jewish militant named Rahm. I call him Rahm the Cruel. Emmanuel, and there is a red star over America and the Sovietization of this once great land has begun. And it's sad. Pray for America. Pray for our leadership. Pray for you and me and the people. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy, and it's my prayer that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.